Assalamualaikum.
And welcome to another edition of Mind, Body and Chow. You're listening to Radio Islam International. In a few seconds time, inshallah, Ronald will be joining us for the verbal fitness sessions. And indeed, today we'll be focusing on back issues, lower back in particular. So I'm pretty sure the workout will be focused around on that. Then at about a quarter to two, inshallah, we'll be joined by Ridwan Osman. He's an educational kinesiologist. He deals in complementary therapies and different things as well. And he'll be joining us to talk about educational kinesiology. Remember when we were in madrasa and the kids were naughty and the mulana would put us in a corner and make us pull our ears and go up and down? Well, you won't believe this, but it actually is part of educational kinesiology and the effects it has on the brain. You'll find out when we speak to Ridwan Osman at about a quarter to two, inshallah. Remember, today's question is on backs with Ronald before we head into the workout. So if you want to send any questions regards to back spasms, back pains, any back issues, you can back chat with us. So send it to SMS 488-55. You can WhatsApp 072-786-1548, or you can tweet at EJAZ_K. It's now time for the verbal fitness sessions.
I'm so tired.
Don't be. It's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
And it's time to welcome Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother? Are you well?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. Your side?
Alhamdulillah, thank you.
Brilliant stuff. So yesterday you said you're going to put us through our paces regards to back issues and back exercises. Are you ready?
Well, I'm ready for that. And what we're going to do is we're going to bring in some flexibility.
Okay.
And for the back, and more mobility rather, you know, combination of the two, and show you some exercises for your core, because you need to work your core to begin to strengthen the support given to your back, especially if it's a muscular pain.
Mm.
So let us go through the workout, and we're going to start off nice and easy. So we're going to start off sitting in the chair.
Okay.
And while you're sitting in the chair, all I want you to do, all right, is lift both hands up over your head.
Okay.
Stretch it up as high as you can. So you're basically imagining you're elongating your spine. Because what happens is this, is we tend to sit for too long. And when we sit for too long, we begin to slouch.
Right.
So stretch your hands up. And then from there, I want you to, while your hands are stretched up, is squeeze your shoulder blades together and then round your shoulder blades forward. All right? And you do this with your hands up. It might feel very strange at first, but you're causing the different muscles to work in the back, in the upper shoulder areas, etc. Round it forward again. Squeeze the shoulder blades together. And then from that position, drop your hands down to your lap while you're sitting and do the exact same exercise. Squeeze your shoulder blades together, round your shoulder blades forward. Now this time, as you squeeze your shoulder blades together, I want you to push your chest forward as though you're arching your back.
Okay.
So squeeze shoulder blades, arch your back, push your chest forward, arch your back. You might feel snap, crackle, and pop.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not a tension being released, right? Then round it forward and curl your back up like a cat would do. And then do it one more time. Squeeze shoulder blades together, chest forward, and then round the shoulders forward, and then open up on the back and curl your back. So that is a very simple stretching exercise you can do anyway to begin to release some tension. Because remember, when it comes to the back, there's tension from the inflexibility of the buttock and the hamstrings, but also your posture and your upper body posture, or hunching or slouching. Now, we want to work the core as well. So from the core, I want us to all go and lay on our tummies. And from that position, when your tummy's on the floor, I want you to do a push-up position. All right? And I want you to hold that position. We're going to focus on variations of the plank. So push up and hold it there. For the ladies, if you're struggling to do this, or even for men who might struggle, please put your knees on the floor, but keep your knees in line with your shoulders, in line with your hips, so it's a straight line. And all I want you to do is hold it in that position, raise one arm up in front of you, drop it down, raise the other arm up in front of you, and drop it down. What this does is this, it works the core, which is that layer of the abs that you really want to work, not just the six-pack.
Mm-hmm.
And by lifting your arms up, you begin to engage that core further to give you more balance and also create an increase in your body surface area so that the core begins to work more, which begins to relieve pressure on the lower back. So this exercise you do for at least 30 seconds. It's called the alternating arm raise plank. And then from there, you're going to bring the variation in, in the same push-up position, and you're going to do the alternating shoulder taps. So you'll be alternating left hand to right shoulder, right hand to left shoulder in that push-up position, and you do that non-stop for another 30 seconds. And that is how simple and easy today's workout is, to work your core and loosen up the back.
Brilliant stuff. And plank is only for the strong, isn't it?
You know, plank is not only for the strong.
Okay.
The plank is for everybody, but the variations of the plank depend on how strong your core is.
And you notice, also with these exercises, like the one we did earlier on with the back, you'll notice that stored energy sort of comes to the fore and you feel like you've got more life in you, Ronald.
You know, that is what exercise does. You know, our bodies are meant to move, Valijas. You know, people don't realize this. Our bodies are gifts from Allah and they are meant to move. And when you move the body, you begin to increase your blood flow, increase the oxygenation throughout the body, even your brain. Yes, you will get more energy. Yes, you will feel more alive. And yes, you will feel more vibrant.
Alhamdulillah. Right, Ronald, we've got about 6 minutes or so, inshallah, for that back discussion. Remember last show yesterday, we ended off with someone asking about their back and, you know, what should they do when they get back spasms? Is there any particular exercise they can do to strengthen the back? And also, when it is in progress, this back spasms, is there anything they should do or can do?
You know, a back spasm is such a broad topic because where on the back is it, etc. Remember something, and let's look at the anatomy very quick if people can understand the difference.
It was lower back, if I remember. Yeah.
Lower back.
Yeah.
You have your spinal column. And within your spinal column, it's the conduit and the housing for all your nerves that run throughout the body. Now, when you find that your vertebra may be disintegrating and the cushioning between your vertebra, which are the bones of the spinal column, you find that it pushes on the nerves as well. And that's when you have to go to an orthopedic surgeon and a spine specialist, and they have to look at what they can do for that. Because that is disintegration of bone. And there are certain operations that you can go for. Many people have gone for it and have been successful with it. The other thing that you look at with the back is something known as a slip disc.
Mm.
Now, a slip disc is where through movement or just through wear and tear, the cushioning between the vertebrae slips out slightly, and that causes an immense pain because it squeezes on the nerves. So you literally feel these spasms. You feel literally, you know, the ladies will understand the analogy as though you're giving birth. And for the men, once you get a slip disc, you'll experience that pain too. And with that in mind, it literally incorporates physiotherapy, right exercises, and of course to not strain the back too much. But the question is this: what causes a lot of traditional back pain and lower back pain in particular?
Mm-hmm.
And that is to do with our poor posture and weak core muscles. So when I say poor posture, you can actually analyze your posture if you look at your hip tilt. So your hips, if you're standing upright, your hips are either leaning forward, and when your hips leaning forward, you imagine you have a big weight or a big tummy in front of you. That causes a sharp point on the lower back called the lordotic curve. Many pregnant women will experience this, and that causes a lot of tension and stiffness in that lower back area. So you constantly feel in pain, and when that pressure happens, it squeezes on the nerves, and with spasms in particular, the brother needs to loosen up his back if it's a muscular issue. So the exercises we did today involve some yoga into what you do and Pilates, because the yoga will loosen up the back, and the Pilates will strengthen the muscles, especially the core, to give you stability and support in the front and the back area. And that's really what the brother should do. If he's got extra weight around the tummy, then the advice to him is to begin to lose weight, because it will accentuate the lordotic curve and the pressure on the lower back.
Okay. And what else? What else can you? What other pearls of wisdom you can give?
You know what? When it comes to back pain in particular, you know, back pain costs the South African economy over 1.5 billion rand a year.
What?
That is a cost, and this cost has been calculated a couple of years ago, so it's probably increased. And the reason is this: it increases your risk of absenteeism, it increases your risk of lack of productivity, because you're more fixated on your back pain. You end up taking medication for back pain, and you end up spending a lot of money on that. So your healthcare cost and your cost to companies shoot through the roof. So when you look at it, why is the back pain there? It's because we're known as a sedentary nation. And sedentary means we are sitting down for the majority of the day and our time. And when that happens, your back and your body literally becomes very stiff. So when you're sitting down for long periods of time, is that your hip flexors in front of your hips in the upper groin area on either side of your legs. That is called your hip flexor. That becomes very stiff and tight. Your hamstring flexibility becomes tight. When that happens, it begins to pull on your hip bone. And when your hip bone pulls forward or backwards because of muscle and tendon and ligament stiffness, it puts more pressure on your back. So more often than not, people think going for a massage or a sports massage or a physiotherapist is a solution for back pain. If it's muscular, you've got to get the body to move. You've got to stretch more. You really got to fixate on other areas in the body because the back pain is often a referral pain. So as I've described to you, poor posture from slouching causes back pain. Poor flexibility in the lower body causes back pain. I haven't once said, let's focus on the back itself. I focus on areas that cause the back pain. And when you tackle those areas, you'll end up feeling a hang of a lot better.
Indeed. Ronald, what about these rubs you get, you know, the ones we use for soccer, the tub with the horse on it?
Yes. Yeah, those things that make you smell funny and can smell you around the block before you come home.
Wintergreen and all these things.
Yeah, all those old school things, you know. You know, when it comes to the rubs, what do the rubs do? The rubs have got certain other medications in it that seep through the skin, but they don't penetrate deep enough into the musculature if it's a muscle pain. So what you need to be conscious of is that the rub is not a long-term solution. Yes, the rub may cause heat, and heat could increase blood flow, especially if you rub it improperly, and blood flow increases vasodilation of the blood vessels, or increase in the diameter thereof, which could release some of the pain and the tension. So you've got to be very careful and see that if it is a back pain, the rubs are not the long-term solution, neither are the sprays. And also, ice is more often used when it comes to an initial back pain. You know, the analogy, if you injure yourself in a soccer game or someone knocks you on your back, they say use ice. Mm. And the reason is because the acronym is known as RICE, you know, and you've got to literally rest, ice, elevate, compress and elevate. So the ice helps decrease inflammation, and I would rather go that route than begin to pop pills or rub creams against you, because that becomes a reaction to what the problem is and you're not tackling what the issue is, which could be injury, flexibility problems or strength concerns in other areas of the body.
One more year we've got, Ronald. I wake up with back pain. Should I be sleeping on my side, back, or what? What's your opinion on how I should be resting?
You know, it's very difficult to say how we're going to sleep. We could fall asleep on our sides or on our backs, you know, and what that does is that's how you fall asleep. But during your sleep, you can't control how you end up sleeping or moving. The one thing is, you wake up with back pain. Again, listen to the advice I gave you previously. Or number two is, have a look at your mattress. Maybe you need a firmer mattress, because you find that a firmer mattress gives more stability and support to the back. For example, I used to wake up with, you know, with niggles in my back as well years ago. And I actually changed my mattress to become a firmer mattress. And when I did that, I ended up waking with no back pain. So it wasn't an injury or flexibility. It was just purely because my mattress was lumpy and too soft for me. And the same thing applies to your pillows, because that could cause neck pain as well if your pillow is too soft or if your pillow is too flat or even too high.
Brilliant stuff. So listen out there. Get your mattress checked out. Maybe it's just your mattress. Maybe it's not even your back, as Ronald has told us there. So, Ronald, jazakallah khair for your time. And inshallah, we'll pick it up tomorrow once again.
Most definitely, my brother, and to you and the listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ronald Avaji there on the Verbal Fitness Sessions on Mind, Body and Chow. In a few seconds' time, we'll be joined by Ridwan Osman talking about educational kinesiology. No, it's not a foreign language. It's quite interesting. So stay tuned to Mind, Body and Chow, and we'll be back shortly.
When life is hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray, Allah will keep me on the straight path.
You're listening to Mind, Body and Chow, and now it's another installment, and this time we're discussing educational kinesiology, and we're joined on the line by Ridwan Osman. He's an advanced student of educational psychology. He's a life orientation teacher, and he also studies complementary therapy. He joins us on the line live from Gaborone at this time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ridwan.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How's things your side?
Alhamdulillah, very well. Very hot, so Gaborone is very hot, so but alhamdulillah, we're enjoying the weather here.
Yes, indeed, I'm sure you are. And we look forward to this discussion. Very interesting indeed, Ridwan.
Yes, I think you'll find it quite beneficial, and it definitely will assist.
Inshallah. All right, let's get straight into it, Ridwan. What is educational kinesiology?
Okay, just educational kinesiology can be broken down. The words can be broken down. It's education, obviously, something that you learn, or it's learning, and kinesiology is movement. So educational kinesiology basically means learning through movement, the ability to learn through movement. So as you move, or basically learning things through the methodology of movement, that's what educational kinesiology is about.
Who will benefit from educational kinesiology?
Educational kinesiology can be done from people who, from kids from the age of 6 up to someone who, if they live up to 99, they'll also be able to do it. Mm-hmm. All right, the reason behind it, basically, if I have to go a little bit more in-depth into it, is what it actually does, the more in-depth explanation of educational kinesiology is learning through movement by the way of using all sides of the brain. As you and your listeners both know, your brain has actually 6 sides. When I mean 6 sides, you have the front and the back,
mm-hmm.
you have the left and the right, and then you have the top and the bottom. So your brain is cut into 6 dimensions or 6 sectors. What happens is, as we grow up learning, we actually start using only one side of the brain. We either use the front or the back or the left and the right. We become habitual creatures. It's like how we use only our right hand. Everyone who's right-handed use only the right hand to write with. And when you constantly do that, you're only accessing a certain part of the brain. And the people who are left-handed only access a certain part of the brain also. So what educational kinesiology does, it asks you, or it has movements that it tells you, or it assists you to start using different types or different sides of your brain, or using the whole brain learning concept by doing movements that allow you to access the different portions of the brain.
Can you give us some examples, Edwin, of how we can wake up those dormant parts of the brain that we don't use too much?
All right. As you and your listeners, I'm sure, know that anything that is logical generally is on the left side of the brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anything that is artistic falls under the right side of the brain. So I'll give you an example to that. Would be like accountants.
Right.
They use left sides of their brain quite a bit because they work with numeracy. They work with order. Things have to be in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas an electrician or maybe an artist or a mechanic will use the right side of the brain and the left side because they're also trying to figure out what the issue is. So they'll be using problem-solving skills.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll also be using the logical side of the brain. The example you're asking about, how would you know, basically if you cross your right hand or to your left leg in a motion that allows you to cross the middle center or the center of your body, the right hand goes over to your left side and your left hand goes over to the right side. Once you cross that midline, it's called a midline barrier. Once you cross that midline, you actually activate the opposite side of the brain. As you know, your left side is controlled by the right brain,
mm-hmm.
and the right side is controlled by your left brain. So once you do a crossover, you're accessing the other side. So what they do is you find a movement that will allow you to work out the brain muscle, and that will allow your whole brain learning experience to start taking place.
Okay. Now, can it be used in mainstream schools, Ridwan?
Just the one thing that's been a concern recently is that when we were in school, I'm sure yourself included and most of your listeners, we had something called PE, which was physical education.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The one thing about a human being, if you don't move, you sit in a place for a long time, you become something what people call a couch potato.
Yes.
Which is not a healthy environment. Recently, what's been found out is that most of the schools have done away with PE. And being a life orientation teacher, I know they're trying to bring PET, or physical education therapy, back into schools.
Right.
And because we used to have breaks and we used to go out and play, or we used to have physical education, it was easier for us to come back and concentrate in the class. And now when kids don't have PE or PET, they don't really assimilate things. Things don't get assimilated because they're not allowed to move. So that seems to be an issue in schools nowadays. But it can, it will definitely help in mainstream schools if the schools implement it in the curriculum or in the criteria.
Now, if they do implement it, how long will it need to be done?
Look, the movement itself, you can do an entire set within 2 or 3 minutes. It's not a long process. The school that we're in at the moment, before you start any work, and I think I've heard of a few schools in Johannesburg that are currently doing it, it can take between a minute to 2 minutes for each session.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it doesn't have to be done all the time. It can be done in the morning, it can be done after the break, and it can be done nearing the end of the school day. But it's not only limited to schools. It can be done at home when the parents can do it with their kids before they do their homework. Kids can do it on their own for a minute or so. So it's not a very long process. But the advantage of it is, Ajaz, is that if it's done continuously for a long period of time, you're basically allowing the human or your child to grow up with a whole brain learning capacity. So it'll increase their thinking skills, it'll increase their verbal skills, their writing skills, and any other skill that they wish to develop. It will definitely assist them with it.
Ridwan, we have a few minutes. Is it possible for us to trouble you to give us a few examples of some of the educational kinesiology exercises?
All right. The one thing that we do, as I told you, I know, Yaz, you being an ardent soccer player and soccer fan,
mm-hmm.
The one thing is while you play soccer, you lift your knee up and you touch it with the opposite hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you lift your left knee up, you touch it with your right hand.
Okay.
And then when you lift your right knee up, you touch it with your left hand. You jog on the spot and you keep doing that.
Right.
So you touch with the alternate hand and the alternate foot. The other thing that can be done is a lot of kids, when you're having an issue and you notice your kids aren't listening to you or they're not hearing things, then you ask them just to rub their ears. So what they would do is they'll just roll back their ears. It's more like a play thing, so they don't feel like they're doing work.
Mm.
Or even you as a parent, you can just rub their ears. When I mean rub it, you use your forefinger and your thumb and you just pull back. What that allows to happen is your entire ear also has different neurons that allow stimulation so that the brain can become active. And once you do that on your kid's ears, automatically that function starts taking place. The brain becomes active.
It's very funny, Ridwan, just as you were mentioning that, I just remembered in Madrasa, when the kids were naughty, then the Mulana would put them in a corner and make them cross right over left in terms of right hand on the left ear and go up and down. So without realizing it, the Mulanas were already doing educational kinesiology.
You won't believe it. There's a video out on that particular movement you're talking about. That was punishment for us, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
But there's actually a video out that proves that people who do this are actually smarter than people who don't do it. So our Mulanas had something. I'm sure it was a secret society. You know, the Mulanas of those days just got us to go up and down for the purpose of making sure we get more clever.
It's very interesting indeed, Ridwan.
Yes, it is.
Jazakallah khair. Any closing comments as we come to the end of this discussion on educational kinesiology?
It's just basically whoever has the opportunity, please research it, have a look at it, see whether your kids can do it. You don't have to go to anyone necessarily if you don't have to, but check it out. Go onto the internet, read about Brain Gym, read about educational kinesiology. It falls under the banner of Brain Gym, which you basically know it's giving the brain exercise. So the more you go through it and the more you can place it or effect it into your family, the definitely you'll have a better child in your environment, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Ridwan, for this inspiring discussion. Very interesting indeed. And inshallah, next week, Dr. Zaida joins us back again, inshallah.
Inshallah, I think she would be joining you guys next week, inshallah.
I mean, jazakallah again for your time and enjoy your time out there in Gavs.
Jazakallah, Ajaz. You too, Ajaz.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.